Hallelujah. To discover more and more about faith. There's some feelings that we've not created. A language yet that's adequate to describe some of the things he is, or when he's moving, he's doing something. Sometimes it's in the area that you don't have any words to tell how good, just how good it is. And if you'd open up with me just for a minute. Oh, where would be the best? Why don't you try the 11th chapter of Mark? It seems to be about the best place to read when I'm going to do it. A short message, 3 hours. So, did I hear a hallelujah? Oh no, I was going to move that guy to the front. Hallelujah, Jesus! But this is talking about it was on faith. And of course, faith isn't exactly a new subject to part of the body of Christ. It's to a lot of ministry and a lot of religion. The word faith is a word. Yeah, it's a word. And that's it. Religion has pretty much got its... You come, you go, you get the guy out of your chair because he always knows you sit there. You know there's going to be 3 songs. There's only 20 minutes to do them in. Yeah. And then you know if he doesn't let you out by 12, he's going to hear about it. That message better not be over 35 or 40 minutes. So then you feel good because you went through that routine. Are you going to hell? No, I went to church last Sunday. I mean, if the Apostle Paul come to visit a square mile of even Tulsa, we're cowboys, roped cows, you know. And the West was won. Tulsa. I mean, if he was to come here, and then one day I was riding with Gary or somebody, and we were driving along counting churches. 1. It's easy to spot most of them because... Here's the church. Here's the people. There's the steeple. You know, when she's a little kid, we went through something like that. Here's all the people. So we know churches have steeples. I don't know if that's a landmark that you're supposed to spot it from a long ways off, you know. I don't know why they put a steeple. What do they want to be higher than any other building? What do they put steeples in for? I don't know, but it's sure easy to spot churches. If you want to have some fun, just count them on your way back wherever you're going. Hotel room, you'll spot some. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 churches with just on this side of the river, along the road. You know what the Apostle Paul would do? He'd just write one big fat letter and say, I hear there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. I take communion, Paul. Believe it, Paul. Please, believe it. You know, you can go out here. You can walk over to the other one here if you want. And then you can walk on to the one over there if you want. So just take your choice. Well, Paul, you know, I hear there's divisions among you. Well, gee, what can we agree on? They're going over there because they're following their error. They're going over there because they're following their error. And they're going over there because they're following their error. And this is what he was talking about. But they were coming together trying to do communion, which at that time they still did the supper. There was a communion supper like Jesus had. And then at the end, he served the communion. But now, we just leave all that out and just bring the, this is my body which is broken, a little bit of grape juice in. So, besides, here there's divisions among you. And I partly believe it before. There's heresies where there's division. And there is. See, there is. But what I love is to discover, I mean, when I received the Holy Spirit and He taught me about prayer, and the faith kept increasing, I could feel it inside. And I'm not near done. To find out there's something I can do on purpose as much as I want, just because I want to, that would bring me to as much of God as I wanted to have. This wasn't what they were preaching. You know what kind of gospel I heard? I think here would be a good illustration. I was driving down the road and got hit by a truck. My car rolled down a hill. I flew out of it. And then the truck ran over me. Finally, I woke up in the hospital next to some person. I was all broke up and casted. But my mouth had worked. I said, hey, sir, are you saved? What's that? Oh, that's you know Jesus. Are you born again? Oh, no. Would you like to be? Well, I guess so. Okay, say this after me. Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Savior. And thank you that I'm born again. Then I take a deep breath and sigh because I know why God ran over me with a truck. Yes, sir. He wanted me to witness to that person. After I came through that doctrine, I asked God, I says, Lord, wouldn't it just be easier to ask me to go there? Could you just do that? Can't you just ask me? Then why are you full of humor and stuff? Because I feel good. And I'm happy. And they automatically come to my mind because corruption is not there. Sometimes these guys just want to run pretty soon, you know. Gary's rolled his eyes so many times I can't even count it. not another one. Yet, along with this, you think because a guy's light, happy, and free, that along with that there can't be a seriousness that can understand any kind of revelation he wants to send your way? You think again. Yeah. There, of course, there's a verse that says, jesting that's not convenient. You know. But why would he say a jesting that's not convenient if there wasn't one that was? It's called wisdom. Sometime humor can drive a spiritual point home faster than anything else in the room. So if it's not convenient, though, you know, well then, gee, you don't want to go off telling these stupid things that have nothing to do with the subject and what you're trying to convey to the people. Your job is to cause them to understand something and enough, or more about the Word, that not only would cause an increase of faith in you, but change your walk. See, that's what we're supposed to hear. Things like that. Where you'll reach your neighbor, you know, lose your fear. Find out you really can walk in power just for one reason, because he said you could. Do you need any more?
Well, I need somebody else to tell me that
if God's not enough, you need to be kicked in the ankle. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. How many's heard the master of a thousandfold sold? He's got a thousand. I don't think it's full return. I think it's soul return. A thousand soul return for you. No, it's full. But how many heard that one? It's really good. You know? It's just really good. He says, my gosh, what he can promise you. I'm telling you right now, he's on me. He's on me. There's something special on me that's usually not here. There's an anointing here. This means that $1,000 you give, God is going to take care of that problem for you. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had it come on me like this before. You really, you think he don't know how much help that you have needed? Look, he's given you an answer. I'm thinking, boy, that guy walks in power. Isn't that something that he can do that? And an anointing will just harvest hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you bring a little blind kid to him, and he can't do nothing. What? Something's wrong. Is something wrong here? I discovered these verses that I love so much. He's not up here to learn. He's protecting me. Look at this verse. 24. Oh, I could go back to 23. It's really good. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you know, we didn't want to really leave it out. Be thou removed and be thou cast, and sin shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he saith, so shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. When you stand praying, well, that part, you know, we could leave out right now if you want, but And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. But if you forgive, neither will the Father, which is heaven, forgive you your trespasses. That sounds like you're not getting what you asked for. You mean I... Well, it kind of sounds like it. You know, kind of sounds like it. What, are you going to take an offering? I wasn't planning on it. But I touched that place when I could find out I could leave things with him. I mean, I could ask him for something and leave it with him with such a finality that I know it's coming. When I found out I could do that with things, then I found out also I could do it with people. People. Somebody you love. Take them over to God, Jesus' name. Drop them off with such a finality that you take your hand off of them. I don't care what it looks like, God, you got a problem. This is your problem. I'm calling him saved, and when I get to heaven, I want him to be there. If you could see an entire picture at once, you'd see people's directions shifting. Why? Because something set them on another course, kind of an interception course. You think that person that you turned over to him is worth anything? What was his desire? He wouldn't that any should perish. But tell me, what do you think he would shift? What do you think he'd go through? What do you think he would change? All he's looking for is something to do it with. I could hold something against God if God, just like the top of Paul's head, said, "Well, I just like that guy's head and everything. Save her. I just like the way she looks at me. I think I'll save her." You know, if he's the one choosing who'll die, who won't. What, he destinated you to hell before you were ever born. You think he's like that? No, he's not. And all he needs from us, because we're the ones that have the authority, is something to do it with. He gets something from you. And who he got Paul's salvation from was Stephen, who was met with a hailstone just raining on him, stone just raining on him as they stoned him to death. Paul was holding the men's coats that did it. But I liked what Stephen said. "I'll get even with you guys. You'll see. I'll track every one of you down. You're going to find out." No. No. He said, "Forgive them. Forgive them their trespasses. Forgive them." Well, that's all God needed. He asked him to forgive Paul. On the road to Damascus, God knocked the sap out of him. In the first encounter, he said, "It's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" Have you ever got in a one-on-one fight with a cactus? No. No. Well, I started turning people over to God because they were more valuable than things. And I'll tell you this one story. David, my son, was a... It wouldn't help. I mean, it wouldn't hurt for him to be encouraged at that time. He needed to be a little encouragement. And so we drove up to Palm Springs where I was having a meeting in the desert. And David is Crocodile Dundee. The rattlesnake will rear back at him, go, shh, and David will go, pop, and get him by the neck before he can strike, hold him up. He's scared of nothing like that. So as soon as we get there for the meeting, Dad, can I use the van? Yeah. Okay, but remember, you'll be back for the service. Okay? They drove out in the desert and drove, and he drove here and he drove and kept going, dirt roads up and down this way and that. Till finally, they needed some water and stuff. And anyway, they saw just a little bitty building there. I think it maybe had a pump or something. So they pull up to it. And a copy of the book of the Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power was laying in the back seat. David just, he drove up and a few men came out. You know, because he was way out in the middle of nowhere. And they came out and so they said, can we help you? And David wanted a little information and something to drink maybe. Anyway, one of them glanced into the car and saw that book laying there, and he says, where'd you get that book? Now, we're 1,000 miles away from home. I live here. Where'd you get that book? David said, my dad wrote it. He said, he did not. David said, yes, he did. He said he didn't either. David had to get his driver's license out and show him that he was my son. That's when the man lost it. He lost it. David said, what? What's the deal? He said, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and two children got killed in a car wreck. We were just beginning to start to go to this little church. She happened to get a hold of that book, and she just loved it. She just reading it, just loved it. He said, I hated God. I don't believe in a God to take your wife, take your family. But he said then, I'll give you one more chance. God, if I can meet the man that wrote that book by tonight, I'll believe. David says, get in the car. Thousand miles away. That night. How could that be? How could it be? Learning to drop people off with a finality, you'll also learn that he loves them. And he will go after them. He will go after them. Well, it doesn't look like it to me. Just slap yourself in the face and say, shut up. I believe they will be there when I get there, or they'll come later. There's no option going or not, because I believe with all my heart, whatever it takes is what's going to happen, because you have the authority to bring them in for me, and you will do that. Do you have more stories? Oh, yes. At least one more. Yes. Yes, I do. Things that would happen, I think, God, what an intervention. What an intervention. Whew. The way he moved on me to see my second to the oldest. Now he's third to the youngest son, Steve. What I saw him do to go after him and to get him saved, I'll never forget. What I want to tell you is this. Sitting in church is a fun time, especially when we're learning and fellowshipping and increasing. I won't tell you again. There's nothing more glorious than to learn how to really. I mean, what do you think that if you really released him into a problem? I mean, really, he wasn't doubting, wasn't struggling around. Oh, it looks like he's not moving and all that junk. You really, really turned something over to him and trusted it in him. What in the world do you think would take place? You think there's any difference between Adam and Eve being here, two people, and 5 billion being here? There's no difference to him. See, he's right there in your life, as close right now, knowing everything, as he was Adam and Eve's when he's sitting there addressing them. So when you say, I believe this is done, I'm going to drop this off. And at those moments you think he don't see you, when the little dowdy-mouthy goes, gets it? Dowdy-mouthy. That's an unbelieving cowboy. Dowdy-mouthy. You get down inside. No, this is not going to turn out this way. It can't happen. If it does, I'll know what happened first. You can't. And in that time, I always believe there was a time that you were 1 foot in your body and 1 foot in the spirit. You wasn't out of it yet. You wasn't in it yet. But you were in both worlds. Both worlds at the same time, just for a moment. And Steve wouldn't admit this to me until later. I did have a vision. And this gigantic angel was standing guard. And Steve died. Actually killed himself 3 times. None of them worked. This time wasn't on purpose. But later when he rolled his buddy over that took the same dose, didn't know God, and I didn't know he was there. When he rolled him over, his eye had dried out on the pillow and it pulled it out of his head. Oh, he was dead. So was Steve. When I had the vision, what happened? I first got called by Steve, and he sounded like a scared little rabbit. He went, and I said, "You get home." A scared little rabbit, just scared. And I said, "I saw an angel standing guard there. Did you?" First, he denied it. But then he told me fully what happened. He says, "I got up and I looked back and I saw me. And I was laying there on the bed. Then I saw my friend laying on the other bed. I could tell him what the front room looked like. It was a long front room. Then it went sideways to the right to a bedroom." He said, "Dad, I could see the outline of the angel you're talking about. He glowed so much that I could see him through the wall." And he said, "Get back in there. Get back in there." The next thing he did, he found himself back in his body. So he called and scared like a little jackrabbit. He got born again. He didn't admit for a while to the angel and a few things like that. But finally he admitted to that. He got born again. Then he got killed two more times. One was an overdose. He's dead in 10 to 12 minutes. Alan raised him from the dead on the way home from Texas, because I was on my way to Texas and another place to preach. So Alan was driving Rosalie and Steve home. And he's dead about 11, 12 minutes when they found him, because he's just sitting in the back. Alan jumped back there and did what you're supposed to do, raised him from the dead. Third time he jumped off a train doing 60 miles an hour. When they got him there, they had to shock his heart back, but he came back. Well, where is he now? He couldn't sleep, hardly. And so he'd take something to sleep. It wasn't like a dealer's drug. But it was still one of those kind that you could take and you wake up and forgot you take it. I found him dead that morning. I went with the ambulance and asked them all to clear out. I prayed for a while. I had a vision. This time I seen him get up. I don't know if Jesus, angel, what, I can't tell you this part. But a bright figure. Steve got out, got up. This bright figured individual said, "Come with me." And then he said, "This time I can't send you back." So he's saved. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bill, he's another story. Bill's on his way to preach. He was driving through Texas, and he had the same, probably had a sleeping problem. And he did exactly the same thing his brother did. Woke up and took, not thinking he had taken the sleeping thing, because they were having trouble sleeping yet, but they were coming out of it. But Steve went home. I mean, Bill went home, his brother, on his way to preach a meeting. Hallelujah. Do you hold anything against God? No, sir. Because I know that He employed everything He had to bring them to heaven. I mean everything, mad. I am one grateful human being. Yes, I love them. But now I'm going to be with them forever. Hallelujah! Woo! Somebody fooled with that clock. You lying clock. How many can believe that it's 12? Can you believe it's 11:40? Can you believe it's 1? How well do you judge that you do on a service? Well, you ask somebody, what time do you think it was? Well, what time did it start? At 10? What time do I think it is? About 10 minutes after 10. You've been dragging this thing. The time did not fly by. It's 12, you mean? Where did the time go? It got caught up in all the wit, the tremendous stories, and the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's your mokodes. Dinkana aluf rabukotis kadesalalopo and to escudarate fopula medakianticic. Hear what I'd have to say. For I'm always looking for something that somebody will give me that releases me to go after these. Why do you think that I'd say the harvest is truly plenteous, that the labors are few? Therefore, pray to send forth laborers into the harvest. I mean, He's the one that died for them. Why don't He just send them out? Why do you pray for Him to send forth laborers into the... What does He want from you? What makes you think that if He can't get something from you, what makes you think that He can't get something from you that will release Him to go after somebody you love that's not saved yet? Every time you see Him get in a mess, just smile, because you know that He's there. Hallelujah, Jesus. If that's you, I can just see a whole lot of people standing up, you thinking, oh, do I know somebody like that? Are you kidding? But if that's you, and you know somebody that's been stubborn, they deny, and no, I don't want to be saved, I never am going to, that kind of, you know, icky attitude. He just loves to knock them down Damascus Road and beat them up with a cactus. You got somebody like that, they don't even know what they want. But God's going to start organizing things. You say, well, does He have time? God, why don't you go about 675 trillion billion exteotikovolinians into outer space and you still wouldn't get to the end of nothing?
Well, I don't seem to count much.
The only reason He is who and what who He is, because He can pay a whole lot of attention to just one cell growing on your face that will make you look better. Well, anyway, I thought that would have a beauty effect or something. Come on, care. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. You don't even know that. I tried to trick him one time. How many? Pluck. Oh, he got it right. Well, is he going to hear my prayer? Hear your prayer. He's worked on the method, what he had to do, what they had to suffer, what they had to go through, just to answer your prayer. And you're saying, will he answer my prayer? Did I make a point over here? Come on. You got somebody? Stand up. I know how to pray. Oh, come on. You get that name out there. Don't you just major on one of them and you see something tremendous happen, then you start adding more. That's okay. But major on one. Get your faith going there. All you have to do is formulate this one now inside of your heart and say his name. Just say his name so he'll know. Say it. Tell me, do you know anything more important? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll get to a part and I'll say, okay, say his name. Then you say that name. Yes, sir. Father, right now, I'm going to start praying in just a moment. But right now, as you already know, this is what I'll be praying for. That we're going to give to you enough to supernaturally go after every single name you hear mentioned. Now, if they're a married couple, you can mention. You know. But hold it to something that you can identify a testimony with. Hallelujah, Jesus. So right now, you don't have to shout it. You don't have to do anything like that. Just say the name of the person now. Right now. Just say it. Just say it. Go on. Just say it out there. Say it. It's okay. Say it and you'll know. You'll know. Oh, Father, sometimes we come to you like we want to butter you up or somehow talk you into something that you died for and you so delight in bringing these things to pass that it's inconceivable to us. Because you know all things. You know eternity. You know beginnings. You've seen ends. You know. You're the only one that really knows the true worth. And when you get something to work with from the authority that you've given us, you will do it. And we're not going to be moved by what we see, what happens to them, whatever hospital, whatever car wreck. I don't know. I don't like those things. But Father, however, that we'll be very, very full of joy to see them in heaven or here when they get there. So Father, right now we're releasing to you, to that name, the heart, the faith, the heart that we have to operate in, the new nature that's capable of believing in anything. We're offering ourselves up completely in the faith that we have in that new nature. You said the substance of faith. Now, faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. You know where our hope is. It's in their salvation. And our faith, what we're giving you, is putting substance to that hope. Right now, Father, we're believing that they are saved in this life, and that is all there is to it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I know I was supposed to pray, you know, for a few people or something, or call one or two out or something, but if this was on his mind, how many would have rather heard this?